Hey, listen, we've been in a series called Fullness in Life. How many of you believe God wants us to have a full life? Right? He didn't call us to just kind of get by. And I've based it off of this verse, John 10:10. And I've just kind of been hammering it. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's full-time job. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life to the full. And again, that doesn't mean a perfect life, but it does mean a full life. I like how it says it out of the New Living Translation, because it means so much. The thief's purpose is still the same. Kill, steal, and, well, I guess it switches it up. Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose to give you a rich and satisfying life. Right, how many of you know so too many people that are even Christians are not living a satisfying life or a rich life? It's like you're like wondering, what am I missing? What's going on? Why aren't I doing that? And how many of you realize part of that is I got to cooperate with what God called me to do? Like if I live my life, I can give my life to the Lord, but I can also still live out of sync with what the Spirit says. The scripture says, stay in step with the Spirit. And, you know, those of you that had military in your background, we understand you don't get out of step. Every now and then there's a marching order where you got to correct your step, your march. And how many of you know that's true in our life too? Following the Lord. We can get out of step with what God wants. And then we're finding ourselves frustrated, beat down, wondering why don't I have this joy? I mean, even David got out of step with the Lord, didn't he, when he committed adultery. And when he finally repented, he told the Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. So if you're not feeling that joy and you're not feeling that life that God promised us, that satisfying and rich life, then we've got to, it's not God's fault. How many of you know we got to look at how am I walking? Yes. What am I doing? How have I gotten out of step with the things that God wants me to do? Because I believe that regardless of the circumstances of your life, you can always, for every day of your life, have that rich and satisfying life. Amen? Because it's found in Him. It's not found in our material wealth. It's not found in all the things that this world has to offer. It really is found in Him. So, listen, I don't know all the details of everyone's life, and I don't even know what the specific things are, but there are some things in Scripture that God tells us of how to line your life up with Him. And so the first week I talked about being made for relationship, and God made us for community. How many of you realize that? Didn't made us just to, I go here and then I leave. No, we are made to build relationships. And I believe that no matter how many relationships you have, we all have some broken ones. Is that true? Right? But you can have the more healthy relationships you develop, the more satisfying life becomes. Amen? And so God created you. Last week I talked about living on mission and how we have a God-given mission and purpose that you know, whatever God calls you specifically, how many of you know ultimately it's about planting seeds and getting as many people to heaven as possible? Amen. That's what God's called us to do. I gave out a little prayer card last week. If you didn't get one, I know we've got some more in the back. And it's something that I'm just challenging to pray. See, if we got magnets you can put on your refrigerator, the thing you get food out of. Or you can use it as a bookmark, but begin to pray that. You're like, God, activate my life. Help me to begin to live my life on mission. So with that idea, today we're going to be talking about how you were made for serving. Amen? What did Jesus say? I came to serve, not to be served, right? But isn't that opposite in the world we live in? Our world is the more servants you have, the better off you are. The richer you are. And I'm not saying it's, you know, well, I got a guy that takes care of my lawn. Is that bad? No, it's not a bad thing. But I want you to understand that we were made to serve. That's one of the ways that we live on message. So let me just give a shocker here to some of you guys, probably especially the men. How many of you realize Christmas is about 5.5 weeks away? Yeah. How many of you guys got some of your shopping done already? Come on, let's see you. Oh, look at that. How many of you haven't even started yet? All right. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And let me tell you, I have found, and I think of my daughter, she is massively intentional and thoughtful about the gifts that she gives, right? How many of you are like that? You're like, I think about it. What could they really use? That's some of you guys. Some of you guys are more like me. I looked on Amazon, and I thought, that looks good. Yeah. Come on, let's be honest here. I see some hands there. That looks good. Anybody been to a white elephant gift before, a gift exchange thing? And those are always fun. We usually do one every year for our staff and board, but we also do one for our young at heart, so our seniors that we have. And I actually have a couple of pictures here for that. Here was John and Barbara in our first service, but he looks like he got a holiday sampler. Man, they give good gifts in that one right there. Here's Richard and Joy exchanging. One of them stole it from the other and that's always kind of, there's people that steal stuff from you, and then there's some that will stick with, like, you know, a piece of toilet paper because they feel bad taking something from someone else. How many of you are the ones that feel bad taking it? Let me tell you, you got to kind of put that aside and say, no, I'm going for the good gift. All right, it doesn't matter. Here's Nancy. She's in our first service. She's gambling with dice. We're still trying to break her of that. But And then we got Glorietta. She was here in our first service as well, too. She was so embarrassed when I showed that to her. It was actually a clip out of a video where she was dancing. And she doesn't watch online, so she doesn't know. She goes, "You're probably going to show that video in second service. I know it." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." So that's all I uploaded. But let me tell you, how many of you were very intentional? Like, "Oh, man, this is going to be a great gift. I'm going to bring this," and you get it. And then you did walk away with the roll of toilet paper. Come on. You got a good gift and you walked in. Let me tell you, some people walk away from these things mad, right? Like, "I brought this and this is what I got. What's going on here?" Let me tell you, one of the first ones I ever went to, we were in Colorado Springs on staff at a church there. And I don't have any idea what we brought, but I know what I walked away with. It still sticks in my hand. Mine, it was a bottle of elk urine. I had to look this up. This is $15 for elk pee. Think about that. It's like, I wish I could bottle it up and sell it for that, right? That would be great. Somebody asked, "What is that for?" Who knows what that's for? Yeah, like hunting, so the elk doesn't smell you. I'm like, "I'm sorry. If the elk smells me, it's going to smell me. I'm not putting urine on myself." I try not to do that, as a matter of fact. But yes, that was a memorable. I'm actually thankful I got that because I'm still laughing about it 30 years later. If I would have gotten something else, I would have totally forgot what it was. But anyway, my whole point in sharing this is this point right here. You serve a God that is an amazing gift giver. Amen. Amen. Like, we may not give the best gifts possible, but God always gives us things that are way more than we deserve. Amen. And way more than we could ever give back to him. Think about how much he has given us. And it's like, you could spend your entire life trying to give back and it will never match the things that God has given us. Amen. And so today I want to talk about three gifts that God gives us. I'm going to focus really on one of them in particular, but all of these gifts are available to everybody. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the theology of it at the beginning, but then I want to give you some practical application. Amen. So number one, the first and most amazing gift that God gives us is eternal life. Amen. How many of you know, if you don't have that, none of the other gifts matter? Right? We got to have that. And I want you to understand, because God wants everybody, and I got my little gift here with a little penguin. God wants everybody to receive the gift of eternal life. I know there are some people that's like, "Oh, well, it's just the chosen. God gives it for everybody." But that's so not according to what Scripture says. Look what 2 Peter 3:9 says. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient." Aren't you glad for God's patient with us? Look what he says, "not wanting anyone to perish." God doesn't want any of us to die without him. He says he wants everyone to come to repentance, right? That's God's desire, eternal life. Here's the thing, it has been purchased for everybody, but here's the catch. Just like a present, how many of you know the present could be there for you, but you have to actually receive it, and then you got to actually open it. Otherwise, it's still in the box. And look at what the Scripture says in John 1:12. "Yet to all who did what? received him like I want to receive him, and who believe in his name, to those he gave the right to become children of God. So even though he purchased salvation for everybody, there's a lot of people that leave the gift on the table. And they say, oh yeah, well, I believe in that gift. I believe in that gift, but they have yet to actually receive the gift. Amen? How many of you know we've got to actually receive it? I want to tell you, you can go to church all your life and think you've got eternal life because it's all in your head. And you may have heard this phrase that some people miss heaven by about 18 inches. The distance from your head to your heart. See, I've got to not just know, I've got to actually receive him into my heart. Amen? And so that's important. Look what Romans 6:23 says. Here's the alternative. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And so I've got to receive this. Listen, a lot of you guys, and most of us have taken that step. If you haven't, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Do you know what the next step after that is? Baptism. Yeah, that's the very next thing. Check it out. And we got one coming up on December 7th. We've already talked about that. But I want to ask you, if you have not been baptized, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? How many of you know it's time, right? The right time to obey God is when? Now, right? He says, today is the day of salvation. I want to tell you, after you've made that, and listen, you don't even have to pray about it. I've had people, well, I want to get baptized, but let me pray about it. How many of you know you don't have to pray about obeying God? When our kids were young and we said, oh, it's time, can you take out the trash? None of them ever came up to me and says, well, let me pray about it. Let me ask the Lord and see if the Lord would have me obey you. No, we did it, right? And so obedience is like now things. So if you're here today and you have not been baptized in water, let me encourage you, plan for December 7th. Invite your family, invite your friends, because you never know. Maybe they will receive Christ that day. Amen. Let me know. Let Pastor Randy know, Pastor Timothy. Let us know. And we've already got a couple people on the list. So we're going to have a celebration that day. Amen. Amen. So the second gift that he gives us is eternal life, and then he gives us his Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit? Amen. The Holy Spirit really is a gift. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, this is talking about Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. The word baptize actually means immersion, doesn't it? And that's why we don't sprinkle. We actually baptize. We put you under. We've got it right over there. and it is warm water, I just want you to know. So it feels nice. You know, we baptized in the river a couple of months ago. That was cold. And this is nice and comfy, and you might want to even stay in there. There's no jets. I'm sorry about that, but I know. Oh, it's like, can I get baptized again? That was so good on my back, that one jet. No, just kidding. So listen, that's a baptism of repentance. But look, he's mentioning two baptisms there, baptized in water, but then also a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is so important. That is when the Holy Spirit fills you so much that his power is working inside and outside of you. And I don't have enough time to really go into that because that's not my focus today. But I want to talk about the third gift he gives us, and that is spiritual gifts. This is what I'm going to spend a little bit more time on today because this is something that a lot of people don't get. Romans 12:6 says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. God gives us his grace. Let me tell you, the moment you receive Jesus as your Savior, you have the sealing of the Holy Spirit, that deposit, but there comes a time when you actually need the baptism to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's like the difference between filling up my water bottle with water and taking my water bottle and dipping it deep down underneath where it's consumed. How many of you know God wants to consume us? Amen. Are you following me on that? God gives these gifts at salvation, and they're in you, but they're dormant in a lot of people because we don't know about it. We aren't aware of them. Maybe you've never been taught about it, but he gives them according to how he wants. How many of you know God determines it? We don't get to. Here's the thing, I just want to break this down, these two words that I highlighted. The word gift that's right here is the word charisma. So we have, and that's not talking about your personality. Man, he's got such charisma. Yeah, no, this is a spiritual gift. The root word is charis, which means grace. And so it's literally, he's saying, God gives different grace gifts to everybody. Right? Everybody has one, whether you're aware of it or not. And he says this, according to the grace, and that means favor that is given to us. God gives us favor to operate in these grace gifts. Right? That means he gives us this ability and this way to work and to where you're operating it. And some people may come up to you and say, wow, you know what? That just seems so easy for you. How do you do that? Like an example, like if I were to have you preach this next week and you're like, you know, all of a sudden you start sweating bullets and everything. You're like, oh no, I could never do that. Listen, the only reason I can is because I feel like the grace that God has given me for it. Amen. I can honestly tell you almost my entire time, I don't think I've ever sweated, even from the very first time about doing it, because I felt like that was something God had called me to do. But I want to tell you, there is a grace upon you to do things that I could never do. Amen. And so it's not like, ooh, I got all the gifts. No, everyone. And God puts it in within each person to do things. And when we all come together, can I tell you, that's when God's presence begins to work in a more effective way. Amen. So guess what? What does that mean? It means you don't get to pick your gift. You don't get to go up to the drive-thru of the thing and say, I'll take a number 1 and a number 16 and a number 22. And can you supersize that? No, he doesn't do that, right? God decides what gift he wants to put within each and one of us. And like I said, this is the cool thing, is when the body operates in the gifts God has given him, then the body is built up, the gospel goes forth. I believe new lives are coming to the kingdom, and the darkness of the enemy is being pushed back. As we begin to work, and listen, if you sit on your gift and you never use it, I believe that there are a lot of people that miss out on the things that God has for them. Amen? We can't just sit on it and just say, yeah, you know what? I'll let everybody else do it. I'll let somebody else do it. Can I tell you what I've learned about somebody else is that they never show up.
That's right.
Isn't that right? And so it's like, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? Here's I forgot who said this, but I had written it down. Spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to his children so that together, how many of you say together? We advance the kingdom in this world. How many of you know we do this together? All of us using our gifts. John Stott, a theologian out of Europe, he said this, a spiritual gift is a God-given capacity for service. God gives us that ability because I believe that you and I were designed to make a difference in the lives of other people. I think the problem is so many times we get so consumed with our life, our problem, our issues, all of those things that we forget about other people. But I have found this to be true, and maybe you have as well, that when I pour my life into serving God and serving other people, God takes care of my needs.
Right.
Have you found that to be true? It's just a crazy thing because the world says, oh no, you're going through troubles. You better look out for number one. Forget everybody else. I'm just going to separate. I'm going to focus on me, 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 me. That's not how God designed it. God designed us. You love me. You begin to love other people. Help me love other people through you. And guess what? I'm going to take care of your needs. It's an amazing thing. It's so contrary to the world. And listen, all of our gifts, all of our abilities, the different personalities, that means people could have a same gift, but because of your personality and other abilities, it's going to look a little different. And that's on purpose, right? We bring it all to the table and we form a spiritual body that the scripture talks about. And Jesus is the head. Amen? So I want to show you some of these gifts. I'm not going to get really deep in it, but there are four lists in the New Testament that talks about gifts. 1 Corinthians, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians. That should be easy to remember, right? Two 12s and two 4s. Peter talks about basically serving and speaking, so we're not going to really get into that. Ephesians is the fivefold ministry, but I do want to look at Romans and 1 Corinthians 12, and we're just going to hit on it. I'm going to go pretty quick. I can't really expound on everything, or we'd be here forever. But he says, we have different gifts, all of us. according to the grace. There it is again. The favor that God gives us, we have these gifts. He says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then let me go to 1 Corinthians. I'm just kind of giving all of these out here in a shotgun. Maybe another time I'll go over them individually. But he says, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith. And listen, this isn't faith to receive him. This is a faith that you're believing something. God has put it in you. Everybody else is doubting. They're like, oh, no, there's no way that's going to happen. You're like, oh, no, I know. I know that I know. How many of you know? I used to hear it like this. I know in my knower. Anybody ever hear that? And it's like it's a supernatural kind of faith to move mountains, amen? To another healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits. Whew, I got to catch my breath. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, still to another interpretation of tongues. Okay, so it's a little bit further down in that same chapter, starting at verse 27. He says, all of you together, and let me just put it in my southern way, all y'all.
All y'all.
Okay, everybody say all y'all.
All y'all.
All right, next thing I'm going to get you rooting for the Cowboys, right? No, I'm just kidding. All of you together are Christ's body, all of us. And I think we got to grab hold of that. If your finger is missing, how many of you notice that? Like, where'd my finger go, right? Like when you're missing, I don't know if you realize this, we notice it. He says, all of you are the body. Each of you is a part of it. And here are some of the parts, just some, right? Remember, it's not an extensive list. So he says, appointed for the church. First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, those who do miracles, those who have gifts of healing, those who help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues. And then he gets into some rhetorical questions here. Are we all apostles? Of course not. Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? He says, of course not. And then he goes on to say, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. So that's a desire. Like I said, it's not exhaustive, but I do want to put a little side note in here because the gift of tongues was mentioned in that. Do all of us have that? A lot of people, and it's kind of weird. If you've not ever been around it, how many of you would admit it's a little weird? All right, I don't understand it. I don't get it. And it's been abused, for honestly. So I need to say, not everybody, there's two uses of tongues. There's one that is what we would call the public use of tongues. And if that's happening, there's got to be an interpretation. All right, and not everybody has that. That's what he's saying here. Not everybody has it, but there's also a private use of tongues. And the private use of tongues, sometimes you may hear referred to as your prayer language, and you're praying in a language that you don't know. But look what Paul says. This is in 1 Corinthians 12. Just two chapters later, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Why would he say that if he says not all do? It's his desire. Why, what's the importance of it? Why would he want that? It says he who speaks, and this is the verse before, he who speaks in tongue edifies or builds himself up. I don't know about you, but there's times that nobody else is around to encourage me. I need to build my own self up. Right? And I'm doing it by praying in the Spirit. I don't know what I'm praying. Paul goes on to say, you know, my mind doesn't understand it, but my spirit is really connected to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you get built up. So I could expound more on that, but I just wanted to put that in there because that's not my main focus today. Here's the challenge with spiritual gifts, and I want to focus on, is that the church has almost built a class system with gifts. Oh, you've got this gift, and you only got that gift? Aren't you even embarrassed with that gift? Listen. Well, let me just put it this way. There's the professional ministry in that class, and we're the gifted ones, and then there's everybody else. How many of you know that's not God's plan? And it kind of started, honestly, out of the Catholic Church with this whole idea. We've all heard clergy and laity. right? There's the clergy, they're the professional, they're the, you know, the ordained people, and then there's the laity, which are just the ordinary people. And I want to tell you, in God's kingdom, there are no ordinary people. Right. Amen. Everybody has got gifts. Everybody has. It's kind of this idea, well, we come, we'll watch the professionals, sit through service, go home, we'll come back next week and do it again. All right? That's not God's, that is not God's plan for the church. It never has been. Look what he says in 1 Peter 2:9. I love this. But you are, you, and I'm saying you, or let me just say all y'all. So all y'all are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Look, he's calling us priests. Well, I thought I have to have the little collar to be a priest. No, we are priests. I remember when I was working a job years ago, this one guy, 25 years old, and he got into an argument with the Catholic priest, and on scripture, and the priest is like, he goes, what gives you the authority to say that? He goes, I'm a priest. He goes, well, I've been a priest for this amount of years. And he says, well, I became a priest when I was 5 years old, when I accepted Jesus. And listen, scripture. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That what? What do we do with that? That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen? That's God's plan. That's always been God's plan A. There's never been a plan B. Right? People that say, well, I don't really like the church. You're talking about the bride of Christ. Are there some messy churches? Of course there are. That's only because we're a part of it. Amen. The people there. But let me tell you, God's all at plan is that when the body is functioning the way the body's supposed to, the kingdom of darkness is pushed back and the kingdom of God advances. Amen. That's what it's supposed to be. No gift, I want you to hear me, is more important than the other. Well, I think it was James going out there with the umbrella, helping you. How many of you know that's not any different than the gift that I'm using, right? Or the gift that the worship team is using. All we got to understand, there's an equality to the gifts. We judge what's more important, right? By what we see. Oh, they're really gifted, right? They're kind of gifted, right? But God doesn't do that. God sees us, and so it doesn't matter what you're doing. The person that greeted you, God's the one that decides. And the gift that I have, how many of you realize I didn't really decide for it to have it? Honestly, I didn't even pick this gift. I went to college for a different purpose. All right, and so that way, guess what? God, I don't get the glory. God does. Right. Amen. And I can't say, according to what the scriptures say, I can't say my gift is better than anybody else's gift. I can't look at my foot and say, I don't need you. I can't look at my hand and say, I don't need you. I had a youth pastor one time, and he used to make this statement until I corrected him. He said, if people had contention, he'd say, I want you, but I don't need you. And I was like, that was so harsh. And I was like, I'm not going to mention his name. There's a possibility he might watch. But I was like, you can never say that about anybody. We need everyone. Right? How many of you know we need the gift of helps as much as we need the gift of prophecy? Right? We need the gift of leadership as much as we need the gift of giving. We need the gift of exhortation as much as we need the gift of healing or helps or serving or teaching, whatever it is. Like I said, there is an equality in it that God's the one that appointed it. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to appoint you for this and I'll throw you a little bone. He doesn't do that. And let me show you, just in case you didn't understand it, Acts 2:17, this is a prophecy out of Joel. It says, in the last days, God said, I will pour my spirit out on all pastors. He doesn't say that, right? It's all people. God pours his spirit out on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. You know what's awesome about that? There's no age limit. It's not like, well, when you get a little bit older and a little bit more mature. No, you don't get too old either. Your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. Every age is important, every situation. I don't know if you realize this or not, but when you said yes to Jesus, you signed up as a lifer. Amen. Amen. As long as I'm on this side of heaven, let me just say, people are like, well, I kind of got burned out, I got this. I want to tell you, you're more likely to rust out than you are to burn out. I don't want to rust out, right? I believe burnout happens when one person is doing the job of four or five other people that aren't doing it. It's like, oh no, we all have that. Burnout also happens when you got too many irons in the fire doing things that God never called you to do. Ow, some of that's going to have to sink in, right? Let me just say, we need everybody. We need the energy and fresh idea of young people, and we need the wisdom and maturity of those that are older. Amen. Amen. Every person is important. The kingdom advances and goes forth when that. So, all right, I'm going to get into the application of this, okay? This is important. How many of you know if you get to the end of the service and you're like, I don't even know what to do with that? I want to give you application. So number one, you got to discover what your gift is. If everybody has been gifted and you don't have any idea what it is, it's time to figure it out. And that's not being vain, like, oh, I got to find out what my gift is, see how important I am. No, I'm not talking about that. Well, look what 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire. It's okay to desire the gifts and say, God, what are you gifting me? Because when you find out where God's gifted you, how many of you know it's a lot easier to follow the destiny that God has for you? All right, you start getting in line with that. So I'm going to give you three ways that will kind of help you. Listen, everybody's kind of on their journey with this, but three areas that will help you kind of discover that. Number one is, what are the things that you love? Because God puts that stuff on the inside of you, the things that really excite you. That may be an indicator of the gift that you have. Like an example of that, you walked in today and, you know, you're looking in. You're like, hey, everything's fine. Hey, how's it going? But maybe you walked in and you noticed that one person that was sitting alone, looking like the weight of the world was on their shoulder, and you couldn't help yourself but to go over to that person and pray for them. There was something, and you may just thought, well, I didn't think anything about it. But can I tell you, that could be an indicator of the gift of mercy or exhortation in your life. And you may have never even thought. Some of people are walking in the gifts God has given them, and they didn't even realize it was God's gift. Isn't that true? And so you're like, wow, I do that. Then that may be part of one of the gifts they give you. So what do you love? The second one, where are you effective? How many of you know we have been called to produce fruit, right? Like when I begin to move in that, what is the fruit? And just because you may love something or want to do something, if you're not effective at it, how many of you know that may not be what God's called you to do? We're called to bear fruit. So do you see, is there a touch of God on your life for that? Like when you're walking in that, and let me tell you, when you're walking in your gifts, it's not always easy. But I mean, I don't even know how to put it. There's an ease about it. Like it's challenging at times, but I just feel like this draws me, right? Does that make sense? So other people may look at you and say, listen, I would lose my mind, but you're like, I love it. I'm just walking in grace. I'm walking in the favor that God has given me. Like, you know, I'm just using myself because that's the best example I can use in my mind. I love pastoring. I've been doing it for a long time. And let's just say it's not easy. It's frustrating sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. But let me tell you, doing it, I feel the grace of God on Colleen and I. And I'm not boasting because it's not me. I realize it's the grace of God that keeps me going forward. Let me tell you, there have been many times if I didn't have the grace of God in that, I would have thrown in the towel so many times. Like we were moving in 1999. I mean, I don't even know how old I was. 34 years old, there was a big bump in the road, major struggle, challenge. If I didn't feel like the grace of God was there, I would have thrown in the towel then. I'd have been like, listen, we got to do something else because this stinks. Right? Anybody ever been there? But I didn't. Same things happen, and I just think of these moments. There's always some good points and struggles, but there are specific times that I felt like it's about time to throw in the towel. 2007 and 2012. Maybe I'll tell you those stories someday. But it's hard, but we kept going. Why? Because we just felt, it was like Romans 12:6. I felt the favor of God. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep doing it. And God just continues to bless in that. Amen. Here's the thing. When you walk in that, like I said, there's going to be an ease about it, and you'll feel God's grace going with you. Amen. Other way is when other people affirm you. That happens when you begin to move in your gift and you don't even realize it. Other people will come up and say, hey, you know, you seem like you're really gifted. You really have a gift of compassion, or you have a gift of generating wealth, and you're just a generous person. You're like, yeah, well, I got all this. You don't realize that's a God-given gift. And I think, you know, we have our prayer team up here, and I've had multiple people come and tell me about two couples, how God used their prayer and touched them, and they were healed. And one was Pat and Sean, and James and Robin were the other. I've had testimonies from people that, and you know what that is? That's recognizing a gift of healing. That's not in everybody, right? Not everybody has that. So, and there's other people, I believe, that have that, but when you move in it, other people will begin to recognize that. Amen. If somebody's spoken something over you and it kind of resonates with your spirit, but you choose to walk away, can I tell you, it's time to do number two, and that is time to submit your gift to Him. Amen. Because like worldly gifts, how many of you know, if you get a gift, it's Christmas coming up, and somebody gifts you with a brand new iPhone, and this is not that, but you're like, how many of you know, that gift is for you. Right, it's not for you to like, hey, I got this iPhone. You want to borrow it for a week, you know, and the next person, hey, yeah, you can take it for a month if you want. No, it comes to you. But can I tell you, God's gifts, they come to you and through you to touch the lives of other people. Does that make sense? Like, you know, like if you have the gift of healing. All right, well, I'm just going to stay home today. Yes, I know I got that gift of healing, and I'm just going to pray over myself. Right? Or maybe you got the gift of prophecy and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to prophesy to myself. I got the gift of speaking in tongues and then I'm going to interpret it all at home, right? How many of you know? That's kind of crazy when you think about it like that, but that's exactly what, here we go. I forgot to say it. The gift is not for you. It is to be used through you. And here's the verse, 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to do what? Serve others. And I love this part right here. Man, if we can grab hold of that, this makes service even better. That you are faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever gift God has given you, when you begin to use it, you are a distributor of the grace of God into that other person's life. Even if it's something like telling your testimony to somebody. Do you realize you are administering God's grace to that person in their life? Here's the fill-in in your notes. Whenever you are serving somebody else in whatever capacity it is, like helping somebody move, how many of you know that person is experiencing the grace of God? Because none of us like moving. But when you got people, it's like you are showing the grace and the favor of God. So whenever you're serving, they are receiving the grace of God through you. Do you realize that God wants to show His grace and He uses us to do that? Like when someone holds the door to greet somebody, you're stewarding the grace of God. Let me just put this plug in there. When you're watching the babies and changing a dirty diaper, it's like, ooh, yuck, right? But how many of you realize you are stewarding the grace of God so that a mother or family would come to church and maybe hear the grace of God? Amen? And you're blessing the babies at the same time. When you teach a life group or anything else, God's grace is coming through you. When you give to support missions or just to help somebody that's in need, you are a steward of the grace of God. Have you ever thought about that? That I am a steward of God's grace. And if I shut it up, then the grace never comes through me. But if I will open up and serve others with the gifts God has given me, then I become a grace distributor. Amen? That's what I want to be. Let me tell you, these gifts are not for you. They are made for you to make a difference in the lives of other people. Not so people will know your name, but so that Jesus' name will be known. Amen? We didn't earn it. We didn't pick it. Let me give you my story. First service missed out on that because I ran out of time. John Maxwell, does anybody know who John Maxwell is? Few of you guys, great leadership, pastor, wrote I don't even know how many books. I think he filled up half the Library of Congress. But when he was pastoring years ago in San Diego, his church was growing to thousands. He took it over, was writing books. They were popular not on just Christian books. They were leadership books. And he had one Sunday, this is out of what he's saying, I'm trying to summarize it. One Sunday, he had his mentor by the name of Fred Smith. He was coming and he was so excited, like he's going to see how big my church is. I got a really great sermon. And he said that day the church was packed. And this is his own words. He goes, and it was a really good sermon. It was a really good one. And so he went to lunch, and John expected to hear his mentor tell him how amazing and how dynamic that message was. And so he always had his notebook when he met with his mentor. I want to write down anything good that he had to say. And so Fred tells John, he goes, John, write this down. He goes, I want you to remember this. Write it in. So he's just like, you know, anticipation. What's he going to say? And his first words is, you are not that good. Then he said, he goes, what's happening here is amazing, but you're not amazing. And it's like, talk about ouch, right? Yeah, then he goes on to say, he goes, actually, you're one step away from stupid. How many of you feel like, he's like, oh, probably like that. He was probably pretty deflated at that moment. But the lesson, here's the thing, the lesson Fred was trying to teach him, he says, John, when you look out and you see that God is doing, it's not the result of you, it's the result of the gift that God has given you. Isn't that good? The only reason we accomplish anything well is because it's the gift God. Don't ever start feeling like, oh man, I've arrived. I've done that. And John said this. This was his follow-up. He said, to this day, I can be in an arena with tens of thousands of people watching. I can finish talking. People may applaud and stand to their feet. I walk off stage and tell myself, John, they are not applauding you. They're applauding the God who gave you the gift of communication. Isn't that good? Like, man, we just got to take, because our gift is not for us, right? God gave us the gift, and our job is to submit that gift back to him and use it however God allows us. Amen? No matter how great, no matter how small, don't evaluate your gift on and compare to others. Just be faithful with whatever God told you. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm always grieved when I have Christians come up and say, oh, yeah, well, I've got this gift, and I want, you know, when all they want is on the stage and microphone, how many of you know there's always a caution flag that comes up? All right, it's like, oh, do you want it to serve? No, this is what I'm called. And we've actually had people leave the church because they didn't get the position they wanted. And I'm like, you weren't made for this church anyway. You'll have to find it somewhere else. Anyway, let me move on. The gift is not for you. There it is again. Use your gift. Submit it, but then actually use it. First Peter, and I put this, I kind of changed the lingo up a little bit. It's got the same connotation. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage or use them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Amen? Isn't that good? Use it. Find a place to use it, wherever it is. How many of you realize we are here to build the kingdom? Amen? We're not here for a club. We're not here just to, you know, sing kumbaya and roast marshmallows and, you know, have a great time, right? We are here to make a difference in the kingdom. And God can use us. And it's like, well, we're not a church of 1,000 or 2,000. I want to tell you, God is using Freedom Church right now. In many ways, right? There are people. I know that we've pointed it out, but we've got that cross out there. Do you realize we are seven people away from seeing 50 people either saved for the first time or have recommitted their life to the Lord since June? How many of you know that happens because people are using their gift? People are inviting. People are leading people to the Lord in all kinds of different situations. So that's what God's called us. The local church is always God's plan A. It's never been. There is no other plan. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail. Amen. And I declare that in El Dorado County and this surrounding area that God's going to build his church. Amen. The way Jesus builds the church is through people submitting their gifts to him. Amen? That's it. Using it, and you know, how many of you, this makes sense, right? To have a great church, it's made up of more than just a couple of gifts. You could be a great communicator, but if nobody is giving and nobody is serving and nobody is showing and nobody is praying and nobody is doing any of that, let me tell you, you're not going to have a great gift. You're not going to have a great church. The church was never meant to be a show. Amen? Where nobody's performing for you. If we were, you probably wouldn't still be here. Even though I put in a couple of jokes here and there, my elk urine or whatever, that's not going to be enough to keep people coming back. Amen. The church is here to equip you for the work of God in every sphere of influence you come into. Amen. So I want to challenge you today. Some of you have been here for a long time sitting on the sideline. And you enjoy service. Maybe you've got some great relationships. Can I just say it's time to join the team? Amen. Don't say, oh man, I'm not coming back. That pastor pressures us too much. He tells, listen, there are plenty of churches. Let me just say this. There are plenty of churches that just want you to come in, sit down, shut up, and make sure you give in the offering. Amen. How many of you know we are not that church? We're going to speak the truth to you. Yes, I'm going to challenge you. My gift is to speak the word of God. My gift is not to water down the word of God so I don't upset anybody, to make sure everybody stays. How many of you know God hasn't called us to do that? You know, some people are more concerned about building their kingdom than they are building his kingdom. We want to build the kingdom. We need to be planted, find a place to serve. Some of you may need to jump into greeting. Can I tell you one of the greatest needs that we have here in the church? And this is literally probably most churches. But our biggest need that we have is in our nursery right now. We've got basically three ladies that rotate in there. As a matter of fact, my wife had to be in there earlier for somebody to come. So she went in there and then went into kids' church. Those of you that are in there, you understand it. And so, listen, if we just had three other ladies that would say, you know what, I will serve a week, that means it would be like one time every 5 to 6 weeks. I don't think that's asking a lot. Preschool class, and I see Stephanie's in here. How often are you in service?
Less than once a month,
because she teaches the preschool class. She's leading on worship and then goes and does the preschool class. And she's basically the only one in there. So listen, this is how important the church is. How many of you realize our kids' ministry and our youth ministry is the most important ministry in the church? Amen. And it's like, oh, well, I need you. Listen, if we just want to be an old church, then we don't need any of that kids' ministry stuff. Right? But, oh my goodness. How many of you know they're having fun in there? But they're also being equipped. So that's the important thing right there. We don't do ministry just to get them out of our hair. We do ministry because if you start building them from babies up to preschool, up to elementary, up to high school, how many of you know they're going to come out equipped and mature, ready to live their life for the Lord? Amen? And so listen, if you want to help in one of those areas, I want to encourage you to say, listen, I will serve. And it's always a rotation, so it's not like you're out all the time. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, we've got two services. You could come to the first, serve in the second. Crazy, right? But again, like I said, those of you that have been here for a while know, when we first started here, we didn't have any kids hardly. I mean, there was a couple that would bring their grandkids, but we just didn't have anything. But God has blessed that to the point where, I know you may not be able to tell now, but we have about 25% of our church are under 20, all right? And so how does that happen other than people that are willing to serve? And I'm just saying, we need more people that are willing to step up and say, you know what, I will give one Sunday every, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever it is, because it is the most important. And listen, what amazing thing would it be if somebody says, you know what, I'll not just serve, but I will take it and I will organize it and I'll do it. Some of you guys have that gift, right? Here's the thing. You're needed because you bring unique grace gifts to the church. Amen. And can I just say, if we just live our life only about us, we live a very small life. Isn't that true? Final thought, and Timothy, you can come up, is serve with love. I ended 1 Corinthians 12:31 earlier with this. You should earnestly desire the most helpful. But he says, but now let me show you the way that is best of all. And then he goes right into 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I could speak with the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Can I tell you, the best you can give somebody is love. And like loving people, that's so important. A lot of people think of 1 Corinthians in the context of relationships. Like, what is it like titled? It's the what chapter?
Love.
Yeah, it's a love chapter. And it's like, ooh, this is going to be great for my wedding. I'm going to put it on Valentine's card, all of that. And so the context, they think, is about relationship. But you realize the context of 1 Corinthians 13 is about spiritual gifts and the motive behind spiritual gifts. And it's like, you know what? When I serve, it's like I don't keep a record of wrong when somebody does something wrong or doesn't treat me well. When I serve, even if they're not always kind, I continue to be kind. I continue to be patient. That's the context of 1 Corinthians 13. Even if I don't get a clap Nobody applauds me. Nobody pats me on the back. I'm not doing it for applause. I'm not doing it for the pat on the back. I'm doing it because I love God. If I think about what God has given me, how much can I give back to him? Right? What can I lay back? He's gifted me in these areas, and so I want to serve him however I can. Amen? Can I tell you, if we don't do it in love, if we're serving out of any other reason, what does he say? We're like a clanging gong. I'm not going to go crash the cymbal, but you guys get... How many of you know the church doesn't need more clanging gongs? Right? The church needs people that say, it's not about me. I'm not a consumer, but I'm a contributor. Amen? And I hear people say this often. I'm almost ready to close. I don't even know what I'm called to do. I don't have any idea. And because they don't know what they're called to do, you know what they usually end up doing? Yeah, you guys know that. It's the truth. Let me give you a quote from one of, I believe, is one of my mentors. I've only met him personally one time, but I have read most of his books. I have followed him. I have listened to so many of his messages. And it's over on the side, Pastor Tommy Barnett out of Phoenix. Used to be Phoenix First Assembly. They started the Dream Center in L.A. I mean, he's just done some amazing things. How many of you have actually heard of Tommy Barnett? A few of you guys. He's 88 years old now. And we were at, his son pastors the church now in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, it's got like two balconies. It's a massive church. He was 87 at the time, and he was going up to the stairs to speak, and he gets up to the top of the stairs and does a little skip jump up there like that. I'm like, whoa, this guy's got energy. And he started preaching. I'm like, how is this guy 87 years old? He just had so much energy. But I remember, and I'll never forget one of the quotes that he has. I have it actually up here. When people don't know, what do I need to do? He says, listen, the need is the call. He says, listen, whenever you find a need, he tells you, it's an encouragement. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. We over-spiritualize things so many times, and it's like, well, I'm not called to that, and I'm not called to this. Listen, if there's a need and you notice it, how many of you know, that's probably God speaking to your heart right there. I remember my wife would say to her dad all the time, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, but they always found something wrong in every church. He's like, they don't do this, and they don't do that, and they don't, I mean, it was like, and she kind of got fed up at one point. She goes, well, Dad, maybe God is showing that because he wants you to step in and fill that. I know. He never complained to her again. It's amazing. Amen. I want to pray. And my challenge again, find something. If you need to see Pastor Colleen, say, hey, listen, I will help. I believe that God's got even greater things for our community. But how many of you know we need to do what we need to do right here? Amen. So my prayer is this. Maybe you're here today, and maybe I just want to talk about that first gift of eternal life. And you're like, I've known about God, I've known about Jesus, but I've never really received him as my Lord and Savior. Because it's not about the knowledge, is it? It's about accepting him. Jesus said this, that I stand at the door and knock. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, how many of you know that's receiving right there? He says, I will come in and I will be with you. So Jesus already paid the price. But listen, you have to receive it. So can I have everybody with your head bowed, eyes closed? If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know where I would spend eternity. Maybe you've given your life to him, but you've known you've walked away. I want to tell you, today's your day. Today's always the day to obey the Lord, isn't it? To say, God, I want to make a fresh start and a fresh commitment. If that's you, I'm not going to have you come up here or anything. Just want you to raise your hand where you're at. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make a fresh start with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I saw one hand. So let's make this prayer. Maybe you're online. Somebody's watching online. You're saying the same thing. Hit us up in the notes. But can we all make this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you're patient with me. You've been merciful to me. And I know I don't deserve it. But because of your great love, I want to surrender my life to you. I want to follow you, Lord, all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you said that and you meant it, how many of you know you can walk out with full assurance that when that time comes, you're going to be with him. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for this time today. Lord, I pray your blessing over each one that is here. And Lord, those that weren't able to be here for whatever reason, Lord, we just speak your blessing. Anybody that might even tune in that doesn't even go anywhere, Lord God, I just want to speak life into their life. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we commit this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.